بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Okay, جزاكم الله خير. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the noble prophet, his noble and pure family, and those from the companions, and those and the companions who follow on his path, and the successors, and those successors who follow the path of the righteous predecessors until the day of resurrection. We continue the tafsir, the explanation of the noble Quran, based on the tafsir of our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. And we finished the explanation of Surah Al-Fatiha yesterday, and today inshallah we start with Surah Al-Baqarah. And by the way, since some people missed some of the editing on Surah Al-Fatiha and the important points regarding the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, inshallah I intend to repeat that, and we will announce a date for it. Especially this is very, very important for every one of us, since we recite Surah Al-Fatiha every day in our prayers. So it is of a paramount importance that we really understand the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha. So now with Tafsir Surah Al-Baqarah. Tafsir Surah Al-Baqarah, the explanation of chapter Al-Baqarah, the cow, chapter 2. This surah was revealed after the immigration of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and thus it is a Madinite surah, a Madinite revelation. Because كل ما نزل بعد الهجرة, anything that was revealed after the hijra from the Quran, then it is classified as Madinite. And وما نزل قبلها, and anything that was revealed before the immigration of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, then it is مكي, meaning Meccanite. And this is the correct classification, because the criteria is based upon the timing, not the place. And غالب الصور المدنية, most of the Madinite revelations comprise more details, meaning more than those of the Meccan revelation. And the details covers the branches of Islam, more than it covers the basics and the foundations. And generally they are less intense in threats and in admonitions and warnings, because they address people who became believers, muwahideen, who singled Allah alone in worship, establishing the foundations of the deen. And thus the only thing remaining is the exposition and clarification of the branches of the religion, so that they act accordingly. Also from its classifications and from its distinctions is that generally the verses are longer than the verses of the Meccanite revelations. Now, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. We explained the meaning of this Basmala, which is called Basmala, which is Bismillah, in the name of Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the most beneficent, the most merciful. We explained this yesterday when we talked about it in the explanation of Surah Al-Fatiha, so we're not going to repeat that. Now, Alif Lam Mim. Allah says in the first verse, Alif Lam Mim. These are alphabetical letters, three letters, Alif, Lam, and Mim. So they are recited as Alif, Lam, Mim. It is not to be recited as written Alam. You can't recite it as Alam. Rather, according to each letter, Alif, Lam, Mim. These are alphabetical letters. there is a lot of difference of opinions amongst the scholars regarding these letters and regarding the wisdom behind them being present in the introductions to certain chapters of the Noble Quran. And we can limit these opinions into four. These opinions are as follows. They are four opinions. The first saying that these letters have meaning, that these letters have meaning. And the people who go with this opinion differed as to assigning the meaning. Is the meaning, or does the meaning refer to the name of Allah, or to the name of the chapter, or is it an indication of the span of this ummah, of the nation of Islam, or the like? So they differed regarding the assignment of the meaning. So the first group said that these letters have meaning. The second saying is that these are alphabetical letters. There is no meaning whatsoever to them. There is no meaning whatsoever to them. The third saying, that they do have a meaning, and that the meaning only Allah knows of it. So we affirm that they have meaning, but this meaning is known only to Allah. Because they reason, the people of the third saying, they reason that the Quran cannot be revealed except with a meaning. The fourth saying is abstention. Abstention. And thus we don't say anything more than reciting them. And we say Allah knows best whether they have meanings or not. And if they do have meaning, then we don't know what it is. This is the fourth saying. And the most correct of these saying is the second one, that these are alphabetical letters without any meaning whatsoever. This is related from Mujahid rahimahullah, one of the scholars of tafsir. And the argument of this saying is that this Quran was revealed with the Arabic tongue, and that these letters have no meaning in the Arabic language. Just like you say alif, ba, ta, tha, jim, ha, just like any other of the alphabetical letters. As to Allah, the Most High, choosing this letter other than other letters and consigning them to this order, we have no knowledge as to the reason behind that. So this is regarding the essence of these letters. However, with respect to the wisdom behind having these letters in the beginning of certain chapters, then in accordance with the saying that this have meaning, that these have meaning, then the wisdom is to indicate such a meaning, like any other letters in the Quran. However, according to those who say that they don't have meaning, or they do have meaning only known to Allah, or that we must not say anything, cease regarding these letters, then the wisdom behind having these letters is that which is preponderating, chosen by Ibn al-Qayyim and Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, and also chosen by the student of Shaykh al-Islam al-Hafiz al-Dhahabi and many of the scholars is to indicate the eloquence of the noble Quran and the wondrousness of the noble Quran and its inimitability, and that this Quran did not bring forth words or letters beyond those used by humans. Rather, they are such letters from the letters spoken by humans, yet it rendered the people powerless to comprehend and oppose, and in that therefore there is a manifestation of the wondrousness and eloquency of the noble Quran. So this is more clear therefore in indicating this inimitability and eloquency, because had there been in the Quran other letters not spoken by people, then there would be no eloquency in mentioning that in effect. However, using the same letters which people use and utilize, yet render them powerless to comprehend and oppose, then this is a great manifestation of the wondrousness of the noble Quran and its eloquency. So the wisdom therefore is making the eloquency of the noble Quran prevailing in the most eloquent format by using this lettering. And they said, those who went with this reasoning, they say that there is no surah, there is no chapter in which these letters were introduced, or before which these letters were introduced, except that the Quran is mentioned in these chapters, except for few of these chapters whereby the Quran was not mentioned. However, what was mentioned was from the characteristics of the noble Quran. For example, if we take Surah Maryam, chapter 19, verse 1, we have the letters Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ain, Sad. There is no mention of the noble Quran after introducing these letters. However, there came in Surah Maryam, in chapter 19, one quality of the qualities of the noble Quran, and that is the narrations of those before us, where Allah said in verse 2, right after these letters, ذِكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عَبْدَهُ زَكَرِيَّا ذِكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عَبْدَهُ زَكَرِيَّا. This is, okay, so we can read now, كَافْ هَا يَا عَيْنْ صَاد ذِكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عَبْدَهُ زَكَرِيَّا. This is a mention of the mercy of your Lord to his slave Zakaria. So this is one quality of the noble Quran. This is the story of those who were before us, in this case Zakaria. Similarly, in Surah Ar-Rum, in chapter 30, verses 1 and 2, we read in the beginning, أَلِفْ لَام مِيم غُلِبَتِ الرُّوم أَلِفْ لَام مِيم غُلِبَتِ الرُّوم. So here in this place there is no mention. Here you read it, Alif, Lam, Mim, the Romans have been defeated. So there is no mention here of the noble Quran. However, there is mentioning of the qualities of the noble Quran, and that is informing of the future, informing of the future events, where Allah said, غُلِبَتِ الرُّوم. The next verses please, 3 and 4, في أدنى الأرض وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون في بضع سنين. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us that although the Romans in the near land, in Syria, Iraq, Jordan and Palestine, and they after their defeat will be victory, they were defeated within 3 to 9 years, في بضع سنين. And in fact this was the case, they won again in the battles against the Persians. And this is from the qualities of the Quran, telling us of futuristic events. Similarly, we also see that in Surah Al-Ankabut, chapter 26 verse 1 and 2, Surah Al-Ankabut. Alif Lam Mim. حسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. Alif Lam Mim. Do people think that they will be left alone because they say we believe and will not be tested? In Surah Al-Ankabut, chapter 29 verse 1 and 2 rather than 26. Okay. So there is no mention of the Noble Quran here. However, there is a mentioning of the narrations, which is one particular, which is one of the particular things that distinguish the Quran, where this is present in verse number 3, where Allah says, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. And we indeed tested those who were before them. You see, this is informing the narrations of those before us. And Allah will certainly make it known the truth of those who are true, and will certainly make it known the falsehood of those who are liars, although Allah knows all that before putting them to test. So this is the saying which is chosen by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, as well as by another group of the people of knowledge. And this is the preponderating opinion, that the wisdom behind the prevalence of such eloquency of these letters is to have the prevalence of the eloquency of the Noble Quran being manifested, because the Quran did not bring any new letters other than the letters spoken by people. And yet those people of the those qualified with the eloquency of the Arabic language were unable to oppose, yet they were the most eloquent and most clear in their speech, meaning the Arabs. They were unable to oppose the Noble Quran. Some of the people of knowledge said in al-hikmah, that the wisdom behind that having these letters is tanshitu al-sami'in, is to motivate the listener. So if the Quran is recited and the saying of Allah is mentioned, Alif Lam Mim, as if Allah is saying, Ansitu, listen. This is in order to make the mushriks listen to the recitations that will come later. However, this is such a saying is not reliable. Why? Because had this been the case, then this would be present in the beginning of each chapter. Yet we know that most of the chapters are present without having these letters in the beginning. Also, had this been the case, then you wouldn't find these letters present in the Madianite chapters like this chapter, which is Surah Al-Baqarah, because the Madianite chapters, there is no one to invalidate or to talk nonsense regarding the Quran at the time of after the immigration. So the correct opinion is that Al-Hikmah min dhalik huwa dhuhuru i'jaz al-Quran. The Hikmah, the wisdom behind this, is to make the eloquency of the Quran prevailing. Secondly, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after that, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ. The, this article, the, is a demonstrative, this is the book, this is a demonstrative pronoun. The, and the lam ذَلِكَ, the lam, this lam, this letter na, lam, let me write this down, lam, which is in ذَلِكَ, is for remoteness, is for remoteness. And this will indicate, as we will learn from the benefits, this will indicate a very important benefit, is to make it clear the highness and the high rank of this noble Quran, because it is denoted in remoteness by this demonstrative pronoun because of its high rank. And this is the book, this is an addressing for everyone to whom an address can be correctly made, meaning ذلك أيها الإنسان المخاطب, this O addressed man, this is the meaning, this O addressed man, this is the book, and the book meaning the Quran, and الكتاب, the book, it means المكتوب, which is written. So فهو مكتوب عند الله, it is written with Allah, this Quran. And it is also written in the noble records with the angels, as we read in Surah Abasa, verses 13-15, please. Surah Abasa, verses 13-15. Can we have, yes. It is in records, so it is recorded, it is written in records held in honor, exalted in dignity, purified in the hands of scribes, in the angels, in the hands of the angels. It is also written in the copies in the hands of people, the copies of the noble Quran which we have now. So there was this demonstrative pronoun in the beginning to indicate its high strength, because it is the most noble book and it is the greatest book. ذلك الكتاب, this is the book. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. لا, لا ريب, لا, this is a negation which negates kind, type, so it denotes therefore negation, a general and utmost negation, meaning it tells us absolute negation comprising the few and the very much. Thus Al-Quran ليس فيه ريب لا قليل ولا كثير, thus thereof there is no doubt whatsoever, little or abundant, concerning the noble Quran, because this article لا is a negation of type, of jins. And الريب, لا ريب فيه, الريب is doubt, so this is the book whereof there is no doubt whatsoever. This doubt, it is not just any doubt, however it refers to the doubt which is associated with uneasiness due to the strength of the reason calling to doubt, or that the soul may feel comfortable to such doubt, so therefore it tends to be upset or unease regarding it. So this doesn't mean any doubt, but the doubt that causes kind of uneasiness. This negation, there is no doubt whatsoever, this statement is an informative statement. This is very important. An informative statement according to the preponderating opinion. And it is said that it is a statement of commanding, meaning don't have doubt concerning it. However, the correct opinion is that this statement, there is no doubt, this statement is informative. And if someone asks, what does really make such a preponderant opinion that this is an informative rather than a commanding statement? This is based upon a fundamental foundation or a basic foundation in understanding the tafsir of the Quran, and this is as follows. We must deal with the Quran on its apparent meaning, obviously understood meaning, and that we don't change the obviously understood meaning except with a proof. For example, like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, the same chapter 2 verse 228, والمطلقات يتربصن بأنفسهن ثلاثة قروء. 228. When talking about the divorced woman, their عدة, their legal waiting period, Allah says, and the divorced woman shall wait as regard to their marriage for 3 menstrual periods. This ayah, this verse, ظاهرها خبر. The apparent meaning is that it is informative. However, what's intended really is that it is a command, meaning because she may not really, the divorced woman, she may not wait for 3 menstrual periods. So this is the basic ruling and fundamental understanding, that we must render the Quran on its apparent meaning unless there is dalil, evidence, to make us go with this evidence and therefore change to the meaning which is substantiated by the evidence. So whenever you intend to interpret the Noble Quran, then let it go on its apparent meaning unless there is an evidence to indicate otherwise. Why is this important? Because the one who interprets the Quran is a witness that Allah intends such and such. And if you try to interpret the speech of people in opposition to its apparent meaning, you will be blamed by the person who speaks it. And he may tell you, why do you carry my words in contradiction to what's apparently understood from them? You should only stick to that which is apparently understood. This is his argument, maybe. However, if you interpret the wording of this man in contradiction to its apparent meaning, then you will be less blamed than if you interpret the words of Allah, because the one who is speaking now is other than Allah. Such that the meaning of utilizing the words for certain proper meanings by him may be not be really clear, or he may be troubled in expressing himself, or he may be expressing himself in words which may mean the opposite of what he intends. This is with respect to the created. And then you interpret it according to what you think he intends. However, with respect to the words of Allah, then it is originating from Allah based upon knowledge and with the most eloquent speech and most clear and distinct wordings. And it can't be that some of the meanings of the words chosen by Allah hidden to him, and therefore it's a must that you interpret it according to its apparent meaning, unless of course there is evidence to indicate otherwise. So therefore we conclude that this statement, there is no doubt when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says لا ريب فيه, whereof there is no doubt, apparently this is an informative statement which implies negation, and the meaning, there is no doubt whatsoever. To the other opinion, I will remind you that it means command. So, according to the other opinion, it would mean لا ريب فيه, meaning don't doubt it. Why people resorted to this meaning? Those who resorted to this interpretation, where they made the negation to mean commanding, not to doubt it, they said, because doubt arose from the kuffar and from the hypocrites. When Allah says, فَهُمْ فِي رَيْبِهِمْ يَتَرَدَّدُونَ, when Allah described them in Surah At-Tawbah, in chapter 9, verse 45, فَهُمْ فِي رَيْبِهِمْ يَتَرَدَّدُونَ, so in their doubts they waver. So in their doubts they waver. So these people who took this verse, they took it as evidence to interpret the negation in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah to mean that it is directed as a command, meaning don't doubt this Quran. However, in response we say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring in this statement, لا ريب فيه, there is no doubt whatsoever concerning the Quran, is referring and telling about the Quran, in the sense that he is referring to it as the Quran, period. Not more than that. Not in the sense on in relation to those upon whom the Quran is recited. No. Allah is informing that the Quran, there is no doubt whatsoever regarding it. Not in relation to those who upon whom the Quran is recited and they are doubting it. So the Quran as it is, in essence, there is no doubt whatsoever. So when I tell you, for example, هذا الماء عذب, this water is fresh, pleasant, agreeable. So this refers to the description of the water, irrespective of whether this may be unpleasant to certain people who may describe it as being unagreeable, unpleasant, not fresh, or bitter. This does not influence the description of this fresh water. So it is of a little importance for us as regard to those who in them their doubts they waver. In essence, the Quran itself, there is no doubt about it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing the Quran as the Quran, no doubt about it. It's worth mentioning, on the other hand, that those who doubt and waver, they really are beliars, because they disdain. They say that out of disdainfulness and rejection. As Allah informed about them in Surah Al-An'am in 6:33, فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ ولكن الظالمين بآيات الله يجحدون. We know indeed the grief which their words cause you, O Muhammad. It is not that you, that they deny, but it is the verses of Allah that these polytheists and wrongdoers deny. Many of them indeed, they may not have doubt, real doubt concerning the Quran. And within themselves, they know that this Quran is not the saying of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that Muhammad cannot bring something like that. However, they deny and belie that. Yet they know that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not bring it from his own. So, accordingly, therefore, from this discussion, the strong opinion, therefore, and the strong explanation without any doubt is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the Quran as itself in essence, irrespective of those who waver in their doubt, that the Quran itself is free of any doubt whatsoever. There is no doubt concerning it. Now, in the recitation, people stop either after la rayba or after la rayba fihi. Some reciters, they read it la rayba and continue fihi hudan lil muttaqin. So this means, if you read ذلك الكتاب, this is the book, لا ريب, and you stop, there is no doubt, meaning there is no doubt concerning it. And if you continue and you read ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه, this is the book, there is no, where if there is no doubt, this means then after that هو هدى للمتقين, indeed it is a guidance to those who are muttaqin. What does taqwa mean? Taqwa al-muttaqun, huda lil-muttaqin. Taqwa, it means taking precaution and protection from the punishment of Allah the Most Mighty and Magnificent by complying to His command and abstaining from His prohibition. This is the meaning of taqwa. Protecting oneself from the punishment of Allah by complying with His command and abstaining from His prohibitions. This is the first and second verse. Now, what are the benefits from this verse? This I will leave till tomorrow, because inshallah ta'ala we'll leave it for tomorrow to continue the discussion on the points of benefit.